Today in this podcast, we are going to talk about why would we go to Mars? And that's also a question we would like to ask you, the public. So think about that for a second. Why would we go to Mars? Specifically, we're going to talk about how Mars will be governed. And a big part of that depends on the relation between the Earth and Mars. For that, we have different people who have prepared a little bit about different scenarios. And the first one is Joy. Welcome, Joy.
Yeah, well, thank you, Arne. Nice to be here. You know, humanity has always had a special relationship with the galaxy. The universe, in the past, we used to look at the sky, at the clouds passing by, so we could determine if we could plant certain crops. And in the future, we will perhaps inhabit several planets outside of our atmosphere. You know, this galaxy, it's hostile to human life. And to become an interplanetary species is actually a great strategy to minimize our risk of dying as a humankind. But apart from, you know, this abstract idea of it's good for humankind, it could also be good for individual families and for people who are on the lower socioeconomic higher ladder. For example, there's actually some historical, there are historical examples of people colonizing new areas they didn't know on Earth. And one of them is, for example, the immigration to the Americas in the 1700s. So these people, they went to the Americas from Europe to escape oppressive governments, to escape poverty, and going to Mars could have offer the same possibilities for people with little on Earth. They could seek higher pay rates, they could function in an economy short of labor, they could escape tradition, oppression, and gain great freedom from this new world they can form. And for humanity, you know, these people, by the way, they will serve as guinea pigs. So we actually don't know yet what the results will be of people living on Mars. And these guinea pigs could be, you know, highly rewarded for their services. And second, you know, for humanity, the advantage will be great for the economy. We can try extractive activities in the asteroid belt for resources we lack on Earth, certain metals, certain ores, that kind of stuff. We can make real estate projects on Mars that go beyond our wildest dreams. We can bring back innovation made on Mars to Earth. We have more grounds to divide. It's for humanity, it's great, and especially one actor that will play a great role in this are the governments. The governments have done this since the Cold War, since the 1950s, 1960s, and this happened in this traditional space race between the USSR, or the Soviet Union at the time, and USA. So space exploration was about international competition, and to some degree also about cooperation. Nowadays on Earth, you have these tensions between the USA, between China, between all regional powers in the world, and doing such a project could actually foster international cooperation, like, for example, the International Space Station. You know, it's encouraged, and it could actually lead to world peace. So, in short, foremost, this going to Mars, colonizing Mars, is a prestige project that could help everyone.
Thank you, Joy. Does anyone want to add on this? Any comments, maybe?
I think colonization of Mars should really be different from colonization of, like, Americas, because there was so much tension and between the original inhabitants in America and the new people coming there. And Mars does not have any original inhabitants, so no aliens we have encountered there. So it's really like a new terrain for people. And what you also mentioned, Joy, is like the cooperation between different governments. I think it could also maybe lead attention, like who gets the most power on Mars in order to make urban planning and make cities functioning.
Yeah, I would also like to object to the notion that going to Mars would improve relations between countries on Earth, because what I would imagine to happen is that countries on Earth would try to battle to gain more power on Mars, which we have seen on Antarctica, I think, where like the US, UK, Norway, France, and all those kind of countries were kind of carving out their own area on Antarctica until they decided to say like, hey, let's stop and let's leave it as is right now. So I think that going to Mars could also,
I was just saying also is Mars has no voice, like Antarctica has no voice, only maybe animals there, but they cannot express themselves and they have no rights in our national legislation. So what I also thought about is maybe like outsourcing like heavy industries maybe to Mars, because there is actually so far it is not really habitable for people to live in, but maybe robots that automatically operate the machines or industries. So there are actually no humans on Mars, but it's still governed by Earth.
But one thing that I would like to interject in this is that this is still a very like state-centric approach. It would, of course, be relatively expected that states would take the leadership in this construction of some sort of human civilization on Mars. But when we look at how the space race, I guess, is going now, it's more like a battle between billionaires than a battle between states. When you see, like, could this new city on Mars, for instance, be an Elon Muskville, which would be a very weird precedent of a private company becoming a sovereign state, which I guess in some part we have seen this before in history, for example the company rule in India, but only in the most wild technical terms, because obviously those companies were not independent, they were not sovereign really, because they were still subject to the English crown, and especially there is no local population. Obviously the colonial heritage of the 19th century is full of oppression. And this is something that would not be applicable to a Mars situation, of course. However, when we look at a private company becoming a sovereign state, how would that function in a system of states back on Earth? Would that?
Okay, yeah, so Quintin, Stan, Elizabeth, I heard what you say, all right. But my main thing is indeed, and as you mentioned as well, there is no indigenous population in Mars to repeat this historical conflict, which is great. But still, when you go to space, you clean the material on Earth, so you don't damage bacteria or other life forms on Mars itself. So I don't think whatever kind of life form is on Mars will experience danger from us being there. We can also not go outside, which is still a danger, by the way, but you know, it helps if there's anything living there. But I want to come back at the historical significance of this project, because when we go to Mars, this project will cost around high somewhere in the billions, maybe you think 600 billions, for example, to trillions of dollars, which will it will make it the most costly human project on the largest scale possible in history so far. And for this project to work, we need states, of course. States will not be the only actors, as Elon Musk has shown the last few years, together with Blue Origin from Jeff Bezos. You know, states will, however, play a big role in this, because they have the financial means to make sure rockets go to Mars or settlements can be built. But this actually brings me to to Elon Musk, maybe, because, you know, this project is also, on a, in a negative way, a prestige project for Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, because since 2004, they have this kind of feud which fuels this space race so far. It basically comes down to Elon Musk is, with his company SpaceX, he's always three steps ahead of Blue Origin, and they even had legal conflict so far. Musk also says he believes the risk of staying on Earth is so big that we should go to Mars to avoid extinction.
Well, I think there's a big difference in those reasons why we go to Mars. Because essentially, when we look at Mars as a prestige project, so we say, okay, Earth is still inhabitable, you can, and Mars is like just because we can. Then you would imagine that the people there on Mars would be definitely be part of the elite, and that a way to escape the things on Earth, I guess. While if Earth was, for some reason, with climate change, for example, to become uninhabitable, then you could imagine there would be a move to get as many people over to Mars as humanly possible, which would definitely create a very different relationship within Mars, the Martian city itself, because especially when you consider that there could also be a resource extraction kind of going on there, heavy industry resource extraction, where maybe we say, okay, maybe it's not an even representation of Earth, maybe it's not completely an elite, the Earth elite that goes there, maybe it is the periphery of Earth that will be sent essentially due to socioeconomic circumstances to Mars to be able to make a living, which would mean that the Martian population were to become peripheralized.
I think the question of which groups of people get to move to Mars really depends on which actor is undertaking the whole project, because if let's say a private company is doing the whole migration to Mars thing, then it would make sense that since they want to maximize their profits, they would like charge huge amounts of money for a ticket to Mars, and only the absolute elite of the world could afford that. Whereas if a government would undertake this whole project, then they would probably, I like to assume that they would like to act in the whole public good. So they would try to move people based on, I think, merits and knowledge, how knowledgeable they are, and not essentially how rich they are.
Yeah, but I agree that, but even if states would do it, I think it should still be an elite, because only the states that have the money will invest in this and send people. And maybe countries like in Africa don't have the money to invest in this, so they will also not be represented.
I was also just wondering, because what if Elon Musk goes to Mars? Does that make him, you know, kind of like a state, because he then has his own, how do you say that, ground, his own boundaries? So that make Tesla, I don't know, it's not the same companies, does that make SpaceX a government?
You could,
even though it's also a private company on the Earth.
I think you could definitely argue for that, because it really depends on how exactly you define a state. What is a state? You could define a state as being an institution with sovereign territory that no other state is allowed to interject on it. And if, for example, Elon Musk would say, like, hey, I'm no longer subject to the US on this ground, the US would have to react. And if they don't, yes, then I think it would be considered the first Martian state. And which is also, a for-profit driven state would be very unique. I don't know if I would want to live in such a state, but I think it would be a state.
I wouldn't be so terrified that happens. Look, the idea is simple. If you go to Mars, then you do it within the social construction we made on Earth. So For example, I've read this article of, I think, Bruns and Hak-Misra, these researchers, and they proposed a system actually that could work when on Mars. It's based on current international laws that state that no sovereign nation can claim sovereignty of a piece of celestial body. So when you go to Mars, for example, the USA, if they go to Mars, they can't claim a piece of Mars as for the United States. Martian settlements, by the way, which would consist of people under control of these states, could, however, claim exclusive economic zones. So they could claim zones in which they can, for example, have these chemical industry on which they mine certain ores and that kind of things. But states over there will only control the people and not the ground. The ground will actually be controlled by scientists, by the scientific community for a large part. And those people that are under control of the Earth states, the question will really be, will they remain under control of these states? Because simply said, if the population grows and they will become independent of Earth supplies, then it could be that they develop some kind of identity apart from the national context. So in short, I shouldn't be too afraid of states on Earth claiming Martian ground.
All right, so you could also have this situation on Mars where we go there because we need some kind of resource. We already touched upon this a bit, but then it would be again, you talked about these exclusive economic zones, right? As I see it, international law is a bit iffy, and it often kind of comes down to bigger army diplomacy, essentially. It's definitely the question if this would be in practice, if it would still be under the subject of researchers, and then if there is some kind of valuable resource on Mars that we would go there to extract, you could see that, for instance, the parties, it would not, as you've said before, mediate differences between states on Earth. It would might actually reinforce conflict. We could imagine a US/EU colonization over there with resources being extracted for the use on Earth. We could also see see other rich states, obviously, because peripheralized states are no way they're going there because they just can't afford it. And in that way, I can see how resource extraction, if there is some kind of valuable resource on Mars, would definitely contribute to conflicts on Earth. And also a point that you could make is, how are we even going to organize resource extraction because of the difficulties on Mars? Some could say to make it even possible, you'd have to terraform it. There's whole swaths of public media on terraforming Mars. I think there's literally a game called Terraforming Mars. But some other researchers say it is literally impossible to terraform Mars, which then would just stop being a plan to begin with.
Yeah, I agree with that. And maybe also, like you say, that if the US and Europe extract from Mars, who's responsible? Who has to make it possible to extract that on Mars? And maybe if something goes wrong, who's responsible? Because then you can also get in a conflict on Earth, or maybe even on Mars itself, because who is going to extract it on Mars? Maybe those people there want to have the very variable thing for themselves, or have their own, or they start their own community. Then you can also have a conflict between Mars and the Earth itself.
That is a very interesting point, because that would kind of mean that some sort of Mars identity would have formed. Like, what would a Mars identity look like?
I think, first thing first, I think there has to be intelligence, because you have to be some side of scientist, maybe, to get to Mars if it's a resource location. and then you have to be skilled in anything to do with science.
If we're moving there purely for the sake of resource extraction, then I would think that only low-skilled laborers who are so desperate for anything that they just move to Mars. They sign a contract saying, okay, you get X amount of money, but you get sent to Mars, kind of like Squid Game, something like that.
I actually think it would be like these highly paid engineers that can operate robots. So you really have very few inhabitants, like the people who are very technically advanced, and they would make sure that resource extraction is happening.
Yeah, but those scientists, they need services as well. Otherwise, they'd go insane. So who are going to provide those services to them?
So what I'm hearing from this is definitely that there would be some kind of hierarchy in this Mars civilization where perhaps state delegations and researchers are there for as the local elite, and more practical laborers would perhaps even be there as would perhaps even be exploited there, just almost what I said before, almost forced due to social economic circumstances. And I think it would definitely be a big challenge for whatever organization would be organizing such a city on Mars to make sure that Mars would actually be inhabitable by all their residents, as even if there might still be very few residents if most of the labor would be automated. Which reminds me of this thought experiment. I'm forget the philosopher, but if you were to make some kind of new civilization, you would have to draw it up from the beginning, of course. And the way the optimal civilization would be reached is to essentially say, okay, I'm going to be part of this civilization, but I do not know what role I will have and what kind of system would be acceptable if I might be the highest elite of the highest, but I might also have the absolute worst social economic circumstance there. And would it be possible in the current world system to build a Mars civilization built on that principle? What do you think?
Well, maybe the role of a citizen and the hierarchy you suggest on Mars also depends on the structure of the city itself and not only on the relationship between Earth and Mars.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, maybe like you said, the elite is the hierarchy and then others below that are exploited. But maybe if you have a democracy, maybe it doesn't happen like that. Maybe you don't have people who extract it, but we only have an elite. Or maybe we have one elite and he's a dictator and he's exploiting everyone. So I think it depends on what happens there.
No, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's pretty much inevitable that on Mars that it would be like a huge contrast of on one side a powerful elite, and on the other hand you have the powerless laborers, because I don't think any normal average middle class person would willingly move to Mars. Why would they go there?
Yeah, unless it is unless the Earth would become so uninhabitable that they would be forced there. But then I would think that there would be a relatively good representation of Western countries, at least the population of Western countries, as I imagine that those would be the most likely to be taking the initiative for such a city on Mars. But yeah, if they're the democracy in the city on Mars is definitely interesting, and I think if this Martian identity forms, that is pretty likely within I think I don't see a reason why it could, why it wouldn't function within the constraints of Mars if it would be reasonably independent from the state on Earth.
I could also see it as part of Martian dream, so to speak, like people really would like to start from scratch, and they really feel sorry about how the Earth is really, in Anthropocene, it's really polluted by people's action and economy. So they would like to take a second chance on Mars to redeem humanity, if you would like. So they really like come together to create this community that is very sustainable.
Maybe it then comes from the people itself, like a bottom up, so not from a government, but from the community and the people who are there, that they organize themselves and they make it possible to live there sustainable.
So the distinction between top-down and bottom-up government really also depends on the scale. And you could argue that Martian city is really that small scale that community and citizens are able to organize themselves without this top-down, without this authority above them. So no dictators, only local needs that are met, and the citizens are directly involved in all parts of the urban planning process. So they really are a form of community organization that is really quite democratic, and that is not so the power is not in the hands of large corporations of the dictator.
Yeah, I think on this scale, like on a city, that's very good to make. You could also imagine like the consistency voting system we had in the Netherlands. So from each municipality, we had someone who was chosen as a representative, and he or she was sent to the Hague to govern there. But maybe you can, on a city, you can have also something like that, because a lot of people know each other of the small scale, and then from every neighborhood, every street, somebody could be chosen to be the representative of that area, and then all those people could govern together.
A very different approach is, of course, top-down governance. Me, myself, I prepared something about a dictatorship, which is something completely different than everything else that's been said before this. But it is a scenario because, yeah, why could not one person seize power over the resources on Mars? Because personally, I think that the resources on Mars are the most important factor of power. Who controls all the resources controls the people, because without resources on Mars, you're done. So what if one person gets the power? And then, of course, it's interesting to think about if the people will actually take care of the, if the person will actually take care of the people, or if the dictator will just pick favorites, for example, or just pick himself, that's also possible. And what will happen then? Who will rise against the dictator? Because then you have a problem, because I don't think that conflicts are in the best interest of Mars. It's a very different and very difficult environment. And if you already have a difficult environment, it's not smart to also have conflicts within your society. But it is still possible.
Yes, Arne, I think that a lot of people might say that dictatorship is too cartoonishly evil, but I think that on Mars, it would be a very likely scenario, because like I've mentioned before, the populace on Mars would probably be hugely like contrasted, like an elite and a huge mass of powerless people. But on the other hand, what could also play out is a benevolent dictatorship in which the let's put it as dictator or a very powerful government would act in the interest of the whole Mars civilization, not necessarily purely focused on the extraction of a resource, but also focused on the well-being of the laborers, let's say.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe not one dictator, but a small group of people, because I agree that maybe we need a centrally governed city, because there are government goods that need to be organized. Someone has to have contact with the earth, or maybe like Joy said earlier, it's very hard to breed on Mars. You have to have goods or materials, how you can breed on Mars, or how you can make vegetables on Mars. You have to organize all those things. And maybe that's easier if you have a central group of people, of a central person that organize it, and not 100 of people who do it together.
Yeah, but also space exploration has traditionally been an endeavor undertaken by governments or the national public sector in general, and not by private actors. Well, unlike, well, that was true up until 5 years ago, but okay, for the sake of my argument, let's go with that. Space exploration is super complex and has a super hefty price tag. So it would be, it would make sense that the actors that are responsible for this project, they don't want to see the whole project go down in flames. So it would make sense that they would micromanage everything and have a very top-down, hands-on form of governance, I think.
Yeah, that's realistic, because maybe the companies also decide who goes to Mars to govern it there. And also, like, if you would have a government, who chooses this government? Would it be the people on Mars, or maybe the people on Earth? So it could be really chaos. So I think it's very realistic what you are saying.
I think if the government of this Mars city would be chosen by people on Earth primarily, that would be probably be the prime cause for a Mars-Earth conflict. Usually people are not very keen on being ruled by not their group, and especially when some sort of Mars group identity starts forming. I don't think it will be sustainable to have a Mars city ruled on Earth.
Martian Tea Party.
Yeah, but maybe from the beginning, if people aren't yet, if the plane hasn't gone yet to Mars, you have to already decide who is going to govern it. So maybe if like the Dutch government is going to set the city there, maybe the Dutch government, or there's an election in the Netherlands that decides that. But I agree, maybe it's not a very good and chaos. It would maybe create a lot of chaos and conflicts indeed.
I think no matter what will happen, it will always be chaos at the beginning, because, you know, it's a whole new city. Everything must go wrong, especially if the Netherlands do.
Yeah, we have to keep Murphy's Law in account for this.
Yeah. Roundabout on every turn.
And what do you think, guys, think, like, in a conclusion, what would be the best option for the covenant? From all everything we discussed, what would be the best option to govern the city on Mars?
Well, if I can say something here, when we look at the best and the most realistic, I think implying that Earth would still be inhabitable and that the city on Mars would not be made as some place for to get as many people from Earth to safety, but say it's just for the, yeah, let's say it's used to be the either just because we can, or to ensure the everlasting continuity of the human race. I think it would be most realistic and practical to have some sort of a transitionary period where in the beginning this Martian city would be ruled by a collective of states on Earth, maybe even through the United Nations. And then after this transitionary period, that it would be that it would transition to a democracy organized on Mars itself, and then no longer be a subject to any Earth influence.
Yeah, and then the people also have time to organize themselves on Mars, to become a bit more independent from Earth.
Yeah, if I may weigh in on the government part, I think, look, most realistically, a comet won't fly at Earth and destroy all human beings in one day. But I just assume that if we go just because we can. We go because it's a prestige project. And if we do this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who helps me breathe as long as I can breathe. So I think the government will be a technocratic top-down government to ensure at least in the beginning, as Quintin said, that I can breathe. So I can just survive on the planet. And after a while, when all services are there, and the people on Mars, the Martians, can sustain these services, then maybe a democracy could help. But there's also a chance with the hostility of Mars that might never happen, a democracy.
What stood by me is really the term that Quintin said, it's like Elon Musk will. I think it's way more likely that there will be this large corporation that it will settle in on Mars and will just try to get as much profit as possible, as much influence as possible. So yeah, also top down, actually, even though our argument for more community-based planning, it's an ideal situation, of course. But if you look at what's probable, then maybe, not only government, but really like these corporations that have means to organize themselves will rule Mars.
Yeah, maybe the bottom up comes for small things like we want a little park here or we want something there, maybe in the street. But I agree that maybe for the common goods and the very important things, a top down government is needed. And maybe it also depends on the how big the city is. Maybe it's a small city you can have bottom up, but how bigger the city, how easier and practical a top-down government is, I think.
It's also really favorable if the central government really takes the needs of local citizens into account, because then they are the ones who are using the city, like Jane Jacobs is saying, like, we are the users of the city, so our needs should be met.
And I think indeed it is very important to have this top-down government that indeed cares about the well-being of its citizens, because it's maybe more important on Mars than it is here, because we don't have all the resources on Mars and we don't know yet how everything works. So I think that's also very important.
So if I may summarize, a central government for safety and a bottom-up government for a good time?
That's really kind of, how do you say? That's the good point, yeah.
So this was our discussion. I hope you learned something about it, and we would like to see you again in the next episode, of course.